He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday morning. It is the December 29th. This is the last trading day. The last trading day of 2017. And what a year it has been. Well, you know what? The futures were way up. I thought maybe we'd have kind of a barn burner of a day to end the year, but it looks like it's going to be lukewarm at best right now. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 7 points right now to 24,830. I don't think we're going to hit 25,000 today. That would take a 170-point move from here. That's just not going to happen before the market closes, unless something crazy happens. S&P 500 is down 60 cents right now. 60 cents. The S&P 500 is at 2,687. The NASDAQ is down 8 points right now, and we're at 6,942. I don't think, Stephen, that the NASDAQ will hit 7,000 today.
Not today.
You think we'll get a 59-point rally between now and the close?
Probably not.
Bitcoin is at 14,407. It is up $11. What do you call it? Per share? Per coin, I guess. $11 per coin. You know, now people are listing their homes, and they want to be paid in bitcoins. I saw that in Florida today. Russell 2000 down a couple of points. Hey, crude oil is busting through $60 for the first time in quite some time. Crude oil is at $60.05. Gold continues to rally. I like gold right now. Gold is above 1300. It's at 1303. We haven't seen that for quite some time. It's up $6.70 per ounce. Okay, we've got to remember these units.
I can remember the last time you said, I like gold right here.
It was a while ago. Silver, up 5 cents, $16.97, and the 10-year yield is at 2.43%. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Stephen Gunderson. We're in our Carlsbad Best Stocks Now studios where, you know what? I actually was able to do my run on the beach yesterday without my shirt. It was so warm. And I almost feel guilty as I think about our friends in Minnesota and in Seattle, where they recently had snow. Minnesota always has snow. We had a strange snow in Atlanta. It's just really, really cold across America. So feeling a little guilty here in Carlsbad, California, where it was a busy day at the beach yesterday. The waves were about 5 feet. The surfers were out. The campers are here for their 2 weeks off, a lot of them, and it was beautiful weather. It was a beautiful sunset last night. What can I say? All right. Well, today is expected to be a relatively lighter than usual volume day. How many people do you think are working today? I don't know. We're working today. We've got a newsletter to put out today. And we hope to have that out by later this afternoon. If you want to see some predictions and how this market is changing and whirring and spinning and rotating right now, it's a vicious spin. Wouldn't you say that?
Yeah.
We're in spin cycle.
A lot has come to the top recently that was not at the top.
No. And a lot has gone
like a month or two ago.
And a lot has gone to the bottom recently.
That was at the top.
You know how at the end of your washing machine cycle, it goes into spin cycle to get all the water out of everything? It's kind of what we're in. It's making my head spin just a little bit, doing my best to keep up with it. But we've got crude oil above $60 a barrel right now. That tells you something about the commodity move. And gold above $1,300 per ounce again. That tells you another factoid about the commodity move. Coal prices are moving up. And in the meantime, big inflows continue into U.S. stock funds. Investors poured $24 billion into U.S.-based stock funds in the week leading up to December 27th. sending a gift to equity markets already on a pace to a record year of double-digit percentage gains. It was the largest week of inflows for mutual funds and ETFs collectively since December 2014.
Wow.
Now, is this a sign of a top? Is there overheated expectations? Is there too much interest in the stock market? If you were a contrarian, you would be saying it's time to get out. But you know what? The contrarians have been saying it's time to get out for the last several years, and the contrarians continue to be wrong. I think rather than looking at inflows into U.S. stock funds, I think it's more important to look at earnings, because that's what the market follows in the end. U.S. crude prices are the highest since mid-2015. Okay, this is very, very big news. The oil stocks are on the move. Stephen, let me just ask you. I pulled you into my office yesterday, or I yelled across your office. I said, look at the chart of BP. Let's pull up BP for a minute, okay? If you live in the Gulf Coast, you might remember BP and the big oil spill that they had, and you might remember Rig, Diamond Offshore, and the big controversy that they were under because they provided the rig that blew up, that leaked all that oil into the Gulf of Mexico. And BP at one time got as low as about $26 a share. Of course, BP used to be named British Petroleum. It's headquartered in the United Kingdom, one of their brands, Texaco. BP is breaking out to new all-time highs today. And I said, take a look at the dividend yield on BP also. I said, look, dividend yield. Yesterday when we bought it, it was 5.9%.
Yeah.
Now it's 5.7%. Okay. You can buy a U.S. Treasury paying 2.4% today with little or no upside appreciation potential, in my opinion, or a portfolio of stocks like BP that have upside potential, capital gain potential, and at the same time, this one's paying a current dividend yield of 5.7%. In the meantime, U.S. crude is hitting the highest price since mid-2015. Now, what is that going to do to the markets? Well, let's not forget that there's a whole energy industry out there, isn't there, Houston? Isn't there, Dallas? There's drillers, there's equipment suppliers, there's the people that make the pipelines, there's MLPs that deliver the oil, there's trucking companies, there's railroads, there's rigs, there's all kinds of affiliated industries and companies, and I'm watching them all rising right now. We have added several to our portfolios for the first time in a long, long time. I have been negative on energy and the oil patch for a long, long time. Look at a stock like Transocean Offshore Rig, which is now headquartered in Switzerland, but it's showing a pretty good stock chart there. Looks like it wants to break out, and you could pull up, you know, many others. Let's just take a look at Halliburton real quickly, which would be a good bellwether, H-A-L, for the oil and gas equipment industry. Pretty good chart on Halliburton. It's been breaking out here recently to new 52-week highs, headquartered in Houston, pays a 1.5% dividend yield. So, you know what? Look, markets don't remain the same. FANG is not going to lead the market this year like it did last year. There's still plenty of good technology stocks out there that make sense from a valuation and a growth point of view, and I'm hanging on to those, but would it be fair to say that those tech stocks, those tech giants, are dead in the water right now from a technical point of view? I think they will come on again at some point in time, but right now the action definitely has shifted away from those big giant tech stocks and into a lot of other areas of the market. And you've been hearing the change in the radio show here and the different sectors and the different stocks that we've been talking about here recently. Well, we're also going to watch the foreign markets here. We're going to especially watch the central banks around the world. The biggest central banks, obviously the U.S. Fed, I think you'll see four interest rate hikes. That's a full point higher in the Fed fund rates. Japan is starting to talk about reducing stimulus because they're seeing strong economic growth. And, of course, Japan has been buying massive amounts of government bonds, stocks, and other assets. And I think Europe is also slowing down on their asset purchases and starting to taper. So that will be something else that will be key to watch. In 2016, those central bank moves will also need to watch inflation, the dollar, the euro. The dollar extremely weak right now. That is impacting the sectors of the market big time. More on that when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson and Stephen Gunderson on the last trading day of the year. It's the Best Stocks Now radio show. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour on this last trading day of 2017. We've got a new member of the S&P 500 starting on Monday. You know, this is just a little bit indicative of the current economy. Pull up HII. This stock will be joining the S&P 500. What do they do? It's in the defense industry. They build and repair U.S. Navy, nuclear-powered aircraft carrier, submarine, Arleigh Burke-class destroyers. They work on Navy ships. And if you ever go down into the San Diego Harbor and you go underneath the Coronado Bridge and back into the South Bay and you look over there to the left, you'll see a whole line of naval ships ready to roll if they need to. And I'm sure the same could be said about other cities across America, but San Diego is a big Navy town. Huntington Ingalls has had a very good year. If you look, they came public in 2011 at $22 a share.
Yeah, it's a nice weekly chart.
Yes.
And,
okay.
And monthly.
Tell the folks, they came public at 22, somewhere in there. What is it today?
$238.
Okay. From 22 to 238.
I think they came public at around 38.
Okay.
Actually.
All right. They dipped down to 22.
Right.
You're right. Okay. And now it's $238. 6 years later, HII pays a dividend yield of 1.2%. And like Stephen says, the monthly chart looks fantastic. The daily chart right now has been pretty flat, but it's at or near all-time highs. And here's why the stock has gone from 38 to 238. What have earnings gone from? What were the earnings in 2011, Stephen?
$3.93 a share.
What are the earnings expected to be next year?
$12.05.
There you go. Okay, stocks follow earnings. When earnings go from $3.93 to $12.03, the stock is going to follow along. Stocks and indexes follow earnings. When the earnings at Huntington Ingalls, HII on the New York Stock Exchange start to level off, the stock will start to level off. And when earnings start to drop at Huntington Ingalls, the stock will start to drop. And conversely, if earnings continue to grow, which it does look like they're starting to slow down considerably in earnings growth, the company has averaged 22% earnings growth over the last 5 years. I don't see that going forward over the next 5 years. Not a stock I'm interested in. They should have added it to the S&P 500, but the S&P 500 it's about, you know, the market capitalization. So now that it's a $10.8 billion company, it goes into the S&P 500. Guess which stock was the top performer on the Hang Seng Index, which is the Hong Kong index.
I already know.
You already know the answer to that question.
I do.
Okay.
And I know how much it was up, too.
All right. Let's hear it.
Geely Automotive.
Yeah, now, I rode with an Uber driver who works for Volvo, and he says it's Geely.
Geely. That's right.
You know.
It was up 266%.
Yes, in 2017.
Wow.
And here's what is said. The Chinese automaker, they had a big day yesterday. What's it? Check and see what it's doing today. The Chinese automaker is seen as well-positioned to take advantage of the push into electric vehicles in the Chinese market. While its monster deal to buy a stake of AB Volvo gives it a strategic partner in trucking. What's the stock doing today?
It's up another 1.5% today.
What's the price?
$69.30.
Okay, and let me take a look and see where we bought it. Geely Automotive. We bought the stock at $48 a share. And what is it today?
$69.
Well, that's real easy. That makes our position up 44% since we bought it. We bought it in late August. Now, here's the deal with Geely. It's not on the front burner. It's not even in MarketSmith.
Nope.
Nope. I mean, you go to most of the charting systems and whatnot, it's not even there. There's not any earnings estimates out on the stock. It's not covered by analysts. How did we find it? The app. What the heck is this G-E-L-Y-Y stock? What do they do for a living? I wish I would have found it earlier. But, you know, we had that big push, and we added all of those foreign stocks to our app, and it was at that time that Geely started showing up on my radar. Well, it's on my radar way before it's on Morgan Stanley's radar. It was on my radar way before the average investor had ever heard of the company. And I put two and two together, and it equaled five, better than what I thought. I said, you know, here's a company that's the largest automobile maker in China. Bang, I like that fact. Two, I remember when Volvo out of Sweden recently announced that they're going to go all electric. All electric, no more combustible engines. Europe's basically going in that direction, all electric. India's going all electric. China's having a major push into electric. Right now, 2 or 3% of U.S. auto sales are electric. So think of the growth potential. Yeah. Think of the growth potential. And Geely's got a foothold in Volvo, okay? Now, that's not their only brand. You go to Geely's website, you'll see the other cars they make. It was big news. It was seemingly big news because, you know, Tesla was looking like it was going to break down below 300. It was barely hanging on to support. What was the catalyst that pushed Tesla higher?
There were a couple of things.
Okay, let's hear it.
The semi-truck.
There you go.
Yeah, okay. Well, and then keeping the tax credit.
Okay, and keeping the tax credit. There you go. Two things. Yeah. They're still going to lose $8.63 in earnings per share this year. And they're still going to lose $3.86 per share next year. I'm still not a believer in Tesla ever being a profitable company, but the jury is out on that. But my point is here, that truck deal was a big deal.
You got a lot of
900 miles on an electric charge, and all of a sudden, here come all these orders from different, Pepsi. I can't remember who else, but there were a lot of orders that came in.
Walmart.
Yeah, Walmart. And what does Geely say? You know, Volvo makes trucks too. In Europe.
Yeah.
Let's buy the trucking part. We already own the car part of Volvo. Let's buy the trucking part of Volvo. We're going to continue to own Geely Automotive going into 2017. Like I say, we have a 44% gain in Geely Automotive. It's starting. It hasn't even come onto really the radar of the general market. Do you ever hear Varney talking about Geely Automotive?
No.
Do you ever hear CNBC talking about Geely? Maybe they do, and we don't hear it.
Well, one of the problems is on the pink sheets.
Yeah.
Do you think it'll ever, is it possible to come off the pink
sheets?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe that will be the big.
Yes, maybe. But you know what? It trades. How much volume is it traded today?
I don't know if I'll get it in time for the break.
Hurry.
All right, let's see.
How many shares have traded hands of Geely Automotive?
2,000.
That's it?
That's it.
Okay. Well, when we come back, More. Oh, boy, I got a lot to talk about. This is Bill Gunderson and Stephen Gunderson. We'll be right back. Back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour here, the last trading day of the year. Bill Gunderson, Stephen Gunderson in the house. We'll be cranking out the newsletter here as soon as the show is over, and hopefully by late afternoon today we'll have that thing out. And boy, I'm telling you what, if you want to stay on top of the market, I don't know of a better way. Here's two guys that are in up into their eyeballs in the market every single day, right down to the minutia of the market. You're not going to get a newsletter that says, well, we think investors this year should have 60% in bonds and 40% in stocks. And as they get older, you know, that's traditional way of doing it. I guess we're untraditional. I guess we do it the old-fashioned way. We like to pick individual companies, and we like to stay in the asset classes that make the most sense. And we believe in being active instead of passive. Well, I like to talk about our stocks that are in the news. We just talked about Geely Automotive. Geely Automotive. Will I ever be able to change? Once you start saying something, you know, to change the way you say it, I still don't know what's correct. We're going to have to find out. Anyways, Geely was up 266%, the biggest winner in Hong Kong Exchange. That's the Hang Seng Index. And you can buy the Hang Seng Index, by the way, EWH. How did the Hang Seng Index do last year? Not that great, really. I mean, it was good. I mean, it wasn't bad, but it's ending on a pretty flat note. Geely's was the number one performer in the Hong Kong Index, and they looked well positioned this year as the world moves towards electric cars, electric trucks. And, you know, even my granddaughter got an electric tricycle for Christmas.
Yeah.
Scares her to death. She jumps off of it when it makes the whirring noise, wants to just propel it with her feet. But, you know, we got to overcome our fears along the way, and hopefully she'll be tooling around in her electric frozen tricycle around the neighborhood before too long. Airbus is to upset Boeing's order lead. Is that true? Can Airbus do it, this Netherlands-based company? Now, why do I bring up Airbus and Boeing? Because we own both of these stocks. Airbus has had a very good year. This Netherlands-based company began the year at $15 per share, roughly. It's $25 per share right now. That's a 10 divided by 15. That's a 70% move in the last 12 months. It's a $78 billion company. Airbus is trying to take the lead in its annual order contest with Boeing, lining up a spree of billion-dollar deals to close out a year dominated by management upheaval and corruption probes. Well, that's not good. Deals announced this week included confirmation of a record 430 jet order brokered by Indigo Partners, as well as 100 new jets ordered from AerCap and China Aircraft Leasing. You know, I noticed that the Chinese airline stocks have been doing very well recently. Boeing reported 844 net orders up to December 19th. And is believed to be closer to the 900 mark now, while Airbus announced a total of 705 narrow-body jets since the end of November. The French plane maker surprise, well, they're headquartered in the Netherlands, but it is a French company. The French plane maker surprise comeback depends on how many of its latest orders are net additions to the order book. Well, we continue to own Airbus, EADSY, not in our growth portfolio, but in our income portfolio, because it does pay a dividend yield. You know, another stock that I don't know what's going on. All of a sudden, Netflix has woken up. Have you noticed that? Yesterday, it was our biggest winner.
Let's check it out.
See
oh, yeah.
See that big pop in Netflix? That's a good-looking chart on Netflix. Of course, Netflix was a disruptor, a major disruptor. I'm sure Stephen can remember the day when Dad took the kids down to the video store to pick out a video. And I can remember my chagrin on Sunday night when, did we return the video? Ah, panic. We got to get in the car, run to the video store, because I don't want to pay a late fee. Not me. Not this Norwegian. I'm not paying a dollar late fee. Yeah, and we used to go through the racks of videos and, you know, all
that'd
the good
the
ones.
Whole Friday night, just staying in the store trying to figure out what to watch.
And
that's what I do on Netflix,
here,
too, though.
The worst thing you can do is take three kids into a video store.
Yeah.
And try to, especially when two are girls and one's a boy. And it's try still, to decide
yeah.
on which video you're going to rent.
It's still the same, though, on Netflix if you got three kids. They just all look at every option on Netflix, and then you still can't. It's 10 o'clock by the
then
time you start.
Then we had to rewind those things before we took them back. And, oh, my gosh, how things have changed. And along comes Netflix mailing them to you. That was their original deal. It was mailing, okay? And then along came the streaming. Now, wait a minute. Okay, I haven't seen a video. I don't know that there's a video store left. Hollywood Video, Blockbuster Video, all the videos they used to rent. Even Walmart got in on the action, and Target and everybody, even your grocery store. Really, the only way you can still do that are these Coinbase, these machines,
oh, yeah.
Redbox machines, still around?
Yeah, they're still there.
They're still there.
Yeah.
Okay, now I was talking to a friend of mine who, for a living, he installs home theaters. I mean, he's really up on the streaming services and all this and that. I was talking to him about this very question. I said, you know, Disney's pulling all of their content from Netflix. And Netflix, by the way, really looks good on the charts right now. Big, huge volume yesterday. He says, you know, that's good for Disney. That's great for Disney. He says, here's his opinion of what is keeping Netflix alive. Because Netflix has a lot of competition in the streaming industry.
Yeah, there's a ton of options now.
Roku, right?
Hulu.
Amazon. Okay. He says it's their original programming.
Yeah.
Their series.
They have some good shows now.
He says that they've become a media giant. They're becoming a media giant, correct?
Right.
And if they have exclusives.
Netflix Studios.
Exactly. So you got to give Reed Hastings credit for.
Yeah, he's always adapted, it seems like.
Yeah, I was going to say, look how he's adapted. I mean, his original idea was let's mail the disc back and forth so they don't have to go to the video store, right?
Right.
Okay, then as that technology started to advance, especially in the streaming technology, huge advancements in the semiconductors and the chips and bandwidth and the cable companies and fiber optics and everything else that could carry. One time I read how much of the bandwidth in America is taken up by streaming
it's
videos.
It's like 49%.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, Reed Hastings, his salary is only $700,000 a year.
Yeah, but it's his bonus stock option.
Well, he's set to receive $28.7 million in company stock options, up from $21 million in 2017. All right. The executive is being rewarded for a banner year for Netflix, which crossed the, listen to this number, 100 million subscriber threshold.
That's crazy.
During 2017. I wonder how many subscribers Amazon, Hulu.
Amazon probably has a lot just because people buy Prime without using the streaming.
Okay, well, Netflix has 100 million. I'm one of those subscribers. And the stock was up 50% this past year. Okay. All right, here's my Bitcoin story for the day. You know, I got an email from a guy. He won't do business with us because I bash Bitcoin on a regular basis. Well, then don't do business with the SEC. Don't do business with all regulators around. Now, India likens the cryptos to a Ponzi scheme. India's finance ministry is the latest global regulatory body to caution about the risk of trading in cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin, saying the investments are like bonds. I'm not bashing it. I'm reading you the news. Yeah. And I'm not going to change. He says, if you'll change your opinion, I'll do business with you. I'm not going to change my opinion. That's nuts. Cryptocurrency, this is what the India regulators say, cryptocurrencies are not legal tender and have no regulatory permission or protection in the country of India, according to the ministry. But it stops short of announcing an outright ban or exposing any curbs. I think you're going to see a lot of crackdowns on the cryptos in 2000. Write that down as a 2018 prediction by Bill Gunter.
That might just make it more popular, though.
This is my number two prediction. Number one was the bond market will have a negative year. And number two, there's going to be a lot of crackdowns on the cryptos. We'll be right back. Good song to come back on with this next subject matter. Yeah. What's the name of this song?
Breathe in the Air.
Well, if you're at a Pink Floyd concert in Denmark,
yeah,
or I guess a Roger Waters concert these days, and you breathed in the air,
yeah,
you know what I'm talking about.
Any concerts that way, pretty
look,
much.
Look, when I was growing up, when I was in high school, my family lived pretty close to the San Diego Sports Arena. And my father had four tickets because he did all the work for them inside the arena with their advertising and whatnot. We got four free tickets to every event in the San Diego Sports Arena. That included Led Zeppelin concerts, Crosby, Stills, and Nash concerts, Paul McCartney concerts, basketball games when we had NBA. Then we had an ABA team, the Conquistadors. We had the Houston, we had the San Diego Rockets. We had the San Diego Clippers. We had hockey. We had four tickets to every event in the sports arena. So I had a good life,
yeah,
growing up. And I can remember back in those days, okay, you'd go to a concert, Bob Dylan concert, for instance. They called it the Sports Aroma instead of the sports arena. Now, having said that, I've never partook. I was telling my son, and this is the God's honest truth, I have never held a marijuana cigarette in my hand. I don't want to lose my ambition and drive. I can see maybe the medical purposes behind it, but I don't know. Look, I had friends that were way smarter than me in high school, and today, one of my best friends works at a Jack in the Box flipping burgers. The guy was brilliant when I was growing up. So I don't know. Look, everybody's got to choose for themselves. But, you know, I believe in a health code. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't partake of drugs. I try to exercise every day. I try to eat right. That's me. But having said that, on Monday's what? New Year's Day?
New Year's Day.
Okay. On Tuesday, the biggest recreational marijuana market in America is finally ready to open its doors. And, Stephen, what's the biggest legal recreational marijuana market in America?
It's us.
It's California. Who, you and me? It's Gunderson Capital?
Us is California.
It's California. Following the approval of Proposition 64, Californians will be able to buy the herb without a medical license. There will be a 15% state excise tax tacked on to that weed. Does this put the local
and additional state
and
local
additional
taxes.
State and local tacked on to
sounds
every
like
purchase.
An expensive hobby.
California plant. Well, look at the taxes on cigarettes.
Yeah.
Oh man, Californians plan to eventually collect an estimated $1 billion in annual tax revenues from the industry.
Are they going to cut our taxes now?
Are you? In California? No, I mean, Proposition 13, you got to go back to Howard Jarvis and Proposition 13, last tax cut we ever saw. It's nothing but rising ever since. Now, why do I say this? Because the marijuana stock, we talked about an ETF that's coming out. It's not listed right now because it was a Latin American real estate ETF, right?
Yeah.
They're keeping the symbol, but they're changing the name, and it's going to be a marijuana ETF. It's the first one that has been legalized by the SEC. Not only will it be illegal to buy pot, you'll be have a ETF that it will be legal to buy. But the symbols underneath, we're going to add them. We've got most of them in the app already. Yeah, you know, we almost have to break off and create a marijuana sector.
Seriously.
These stocks, pardon the pun, are on fire right now. They are absolutely on fire. ACBFF.
They're flying high.
AEROAMMJ. APHQF. BLOZF. CANN. CBDS. CBIS. EVSI. ERBB. FBEC. You think I'm talking in tongues here? GBLX. GRNH. GRSU. GWPH. Hemp. How about hemp? H-E-M-P. Don't forget IGC. Do you know there's even a marijuana REIT, a real estate that rents out and leases growing operations? How about KSH? How about MJNA? How about MSRT, MYDX, OGRMF, PHOT, OTCQ, PMCB, PNTV, RMHB? They all trade on the bulletin boards except for a couple. Well, let's not forget SGBY. Let's not forget Scott's Miracle-Gro, SMG.
Yeah. Got to get them to grow faster.
I use them on my tomatoes and my basil. Let's not forget SPRWF and SRNA and THCBF and TRTC and UBQU and last but not least, XXII.
You know we're going to get people calling in. Hey, what were those symbols you said again?
Well, you got to get the app. You got to get the newsletter. The app will rank them. You go to the marijuana sector, which we're going to create. You can click on them, and you'll see the rankings. They're not going to be ranked on earnings because there are no earnings. We don't have any profitable companies in this industry yet.
Not yet.
But when it comes to momentum, look at XXII, for instance. Now, XXII is actually on the Amex, American Stock Exchange. It's in Market Smith. What's the relative strength of that stock right now?
Let's see, 98.
On a scale of 1 to 99, it's a 98.
It's pretty good.
Not bad. I would venture to say that of those symbols that I just mentioned.
Wait, XXII?
Yes, it is.
They develop products focused on
I realize that, but many of them now are getting in the marijuana business and changing their structure of what they do for a living. That's why you have to go to MarketWatch and read the profile on what they do for a living. How many medical marijuana Canadian cannabis stocks have we found recently that have Gunderson? And that's another thing we're going to add to the app. Momentum grade rankings.
No.
Anything A or above, you want to take a look at those stocks. I have a proprietary momentum grade. Just like Investors Business Daily has 1 to 99, I have F, A plus, through F.
Seems like if you want your stock to go up these days, just say you're getting into medical marijuana or blockchain.
Or blockchain. Exactly.
And then your stock goes up.
But
20%.
You know what? Yeah. Well, you know what? We've actually, in the speculative portfolio, we've actually bought some marijuana stocks recently, and they're going higher, pardon the pun. Hey, if you want to get the newsletter, man, today is a blockbuster newsletter. GundersonCapital.com. If you want active management and none of this passive garbage, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Put the Gunderson team to work for you. Have a happy new year, everybody, and have a great day.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisor. All accounts are held at Scottrade. Scottrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.